Gateway Chapel, building your world by His Word.
Let's open our Bibles to the book of Daniel, chapter 7, and I'll read verse 18. Daniel, chapter 7, verse 18. Daniel 7:18, it says, "But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom even forever and ever." Amen? Let's look at Acts chapter 20, verse 32. Acts 20, verse 32. Acts 20, 32, this was Paul, or this was Peter, speaking to a people. He says, "So now, brethren, so now, saints, so now, brothers and sisters, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." The sanctified are the saints of Christ. Amen? Before I go any further this evening, please ensure that your children are not going to the other side of the auditorium, because there is a work being done there and the workmen are still there, and we are very careful and concerned about health and safety. So please help keep the children in order and ensure that they don't go over to the other side. Amen. Daniel says something very interesting in the book of the Old Testament, in Daniel 7:18. He says, the saints of the Most High will receive the kingdom, and then they will possess it. You see, we serve a God who is faithful. We serve a God who has given us promises. Long before the children of Israel went into captivity, he said to Abraham, he said, your children are going to go into a foreign land and they will serve there for many years, and they will be afflicted and they will be oppressed and they will be pressed down. He said, but at the set time, I am going to come and I'm going to take them and I'm going to lead them out and I'm going to take them to a land that is flowing with milk and with honey. And one would have thought at the time that by the time Jacob was a servant to his uncle, that God will appear, that was the time that God was talking about. But generation and many generations after then, the children of Israel, they were in captivity, and then the Lord showed up and he used a man called Moses, and he took them out of the land of slavery and he led them through difficult times, through the wilderness, crossing the Red Sea, enduring the bitterness of the water, and so many other challenges. But one thing was sure, the promises of God was yea, and it was amen, even at the time. Even as I am confident that whatsoever promise God has given to you tonight, the same God who took out the children of Israel from the land of slavery and took them into the promised land, will take you to your desired destination. You know why I'm so confident? Because he said that, I know the thoughts that I have towards you. They are thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you a hope and a future, to take you to an expected end. There is an end for each and every single one of you, and the Lord will take you there. And the end is a glorious end, because our Lord does wonders. He's the God of wonders. Amen? Little wonder he has declared this season as our season of wonders, and this month our month of praise. Tonight, I'm going to be talking on a topic that I call the kingdom perspective. And it's so interesting what Daniel was saying here. Daniel was talking about the saints. And before I go any further, it's going to be Bible studies tonight, by the way. And, you know, I really want to say, for people that come for Friday services, honestly, you are doing amazing things. Because what you are doing is, you see, Jesus Christ was everything to everybody. But one thing you have to understand is that Jesus Christ will minister to the crowd, and then he will minister to the 70, and he will also minister to the 12. There are different levels of relationship. There are different levels of access and privilege to the king. And if you are able to make it to Friday services, it tells me one thing, that you take your salvation very seriously, and God is taking you seriously. And God is a faithful God. He will reward you. But one thing I will assure you and I will encourage you tonight is, never let your light go down. The Bible says that the path of the righteous will shine brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. My desire, my hope, and my prayer for you is that your light will continue to shine brighter and brighter unto the perfect day, because that is what the Lord desires for you. Amen? So Daniel says something interesting here. He said, the saints of God. I see, when you talk about the saints of God, the way religion has interpreted is that those people that have died in Christ. But the saints of God are not the dead. The saints of God are you and I. We are the sanctified. We are the one who Jesus Christ died for. And the ones that have gone to be with him, they were also saints. But we also pray and just hope that they will be with the Lord. Because I don't know. That's just the reality. It's only the Lord who knows them who are his. I don't know. But my prayer is that all the saints who have been institutionalized and whose building and institution have been named after, that they are with the Lord. That is my prayer. But that's not the focus tonight. You are the saints of God. So you are the one Daniel was talking about here. And at this time, Jesus Christ has not yet come. Daniel was speaking a prophetic word. Daniel was speaking about you even before the Lord came to die for you. Because you are the saints of God. You are the sanctified ones. You are the one who Jesus Christ came for. And the Bible says that if anyone be in him, is a new creature. You are a new creature. You are the saints. So Daniel was saying something. He said, you will receive the kingdom. And when you receive the kingdom, you will possess the kingdom. Two different things. There is first, you have to receive the kingdom. And secondly, you can possess the kingdom. It's not guaranteed. And you will find out why as we go along. And then Peter was encouraging the church in the book of Acts, and he said to them, he says, I commend you unto God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. Look at how Peter was communicating to the church. He said, the word of God will build you up and give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified, among the saints. What Peter was saying here is that there is an inheritance for every single one of you. You have the inheritance of peace. You have the inheritance of prosperity. You have the inheritance of wealth. You have the inheritance of joy and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. That was what Peter was telling the church. And he was praying for them. So there is an inheritance for every single one of us. But before you can understand what I'm trying to say tonight about kingdom perspective, what is the kingdom? I will talk about what is the kingdom, which is, you know, the kingdom of God. You see, a kingdom is a domain. It could be a natural or a supernatural domain with a ruler that has rules and regulation, that have standards and values, sometimes culture. And the people of the kingdom tend, in the first instance, they have to live by the rules. Because if they don't live by the rules, then they get in trouble with the kings. You know the story of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They tried to destroy them because they didn't want to live by the rule of the kingdom. But then there was a higher kingdom who the Bible says rules in the affairs of men, and he prevailed on their behalf. And I can assure you tonight that it does not matter what the system is throwing your way, the Lord will give you victory. Just as he gave Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego victory, the Lord will give you victory because our God, he said we should stand still and see his salvation. That is the God we serve. But a domain has rules and they have regulations. They have standards. They have values. But, you know, one of the things that you find is that you expect that people that are living in a kingdom will live by the values and standards of the kingdom, but it's not often the case. And how do you become, you know, the citizen of a kingdom? You're either born into the kingdom or you become a citizen by, through allegiance or by naturalization. But what I find is that a lot of times, you know, taking it down to the natural, to the mundane things now, I was watching the football with a couple of friends in Germany on the night Brazil went on the, you know, go fest. And one thing I noticed, these were Germans. And you see, in Germany, if you're going to take their citizenship, you have to renounce the one that, wherever you come from, they don't do dual things. German, you're either German, you are not German. And these guys were German, but they were not supporting Germany. And they were saying all manner of things that I just sat there and I was thinking to myself. I told them, I said, guys, tomorrow morning I'm going to go to Stad House and I'm going to ensure that they take back your German passport because you don't deserve to have this. These guys, they just don't support Germany for whatever reason, but they live in Germany. What I'm saying to you is that they live in a kingdom, but they have not received or accepted the values, the standard, and the culture of the kingdom. And to be honest, many of us are like that. Many of us are British, but our values and our standards are the values and standards of our home country. I went to my beloved country today. I mean the Nigeria embassy. And for the first time, I just realized that I've missed something. I've missed this country for a while, but I saw it for real. We're just, you see, it's not about where you are, it's about who you are. Trust me. It has nothing to do with place, it's about the person. We're just who we are. You know, the way we see things, our perception, our attitude, and outlook to life, I just love it. We are a wonderful people. God bless us. Amen? But what I'm trying to say tonight is, you can live in a country. You can become the citizen of a country or a kingdom and not live by the standard and the values. There are rules and regulations. Of course, you know that if you don't live by the rules and regulations, you get into trouble. They throw you into jail. But standards and values, perspectives and outlook towards life are something that you have a choice to embrace or not to embrace. And a lot of times, taking it down to the spiritual, supernatural domain, we claim to be believers, we claim to be Christians, but our Christianity and the practice of our faith is limited to us just coming to church on Sunday. We don't really embrace, we talk about it, we want to be, our language will tell even the hardest believer that you are a believer. But will you know deep inside of you, do you really embrace, do you really receive the value? Do you accept Christ indeed? Have you received him? And that was what Daniel was talking about in the book of Daniel chapter 2 verse 18. It says, you need to receive the kingdom. To receive the kingdom means to accept the kingdom, accept the terms and condition, and live by the values, by the dictate, by the culture of the kingdom. Now talking about a kingdom, or the kingdom, you see, the kingdom of God is a supernatural kingdom. It is not a natural kingdom, and there are expectations. And the Bible has given us the mind of Christ. So we know the mind of Christ. We know what God expects of us. But a lot of times, we either deliberately or out of ignorance do not live by the standards. We don't even obey the rules. You know why? Because there is no holy police. Amen? But if you don't obey the rules in England, the Metropolitan Police will visit you or whatever city you belong to. But in this, you can break all the rules and there will be no holy police to arrest you. Not to talk about living by the dictates or living the values of the kingdom. And there are values of the kingdom. I mean, how do you tell somebody who is from Germany, apart from the language, because if you see some Germans, they speak really good English, and somebody who's come from England, you only need to observe them for a time, and then you will know that, oh, this guy is not English. And the people in Antioch, they saw the early believers, and they said, these people, there is something about them. They are different from us. They are not like us. They are Christ-like. But how did they know that they were Christ-like? Because they know what Christ was like. And then they saw a people who were demonstrating the love of Christ. They saw a people who were living without bitterness. They saw a people who were living without grudge. They saw a people who could love their enemy. Even as Jesus Christ told us that we should love our enemies as we love ourselves. But he also tells us that we should, you know, pray for them. So that when they hurt you, the coal can be heated so hot and then come on their head. I hope you get that. So when you are praying for your enemies, just pray sincerely. Amen? Because we don't want to heap coal or fire on anyone. We desire that every man will be saved and come to the understanding of, and come to the light of Christ. Amen? So the kingdom of God is a kingdom of peace. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans 14:17, it says, the kingdom of God is not about eating and drinking. It's not about making a lot of money. It's not about being rich. It's not about having everything. It is about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because you can have all the money in the world and you will not have your peace. You can have everything your heart desires and there may be no joy. So that tells you that material things cannot really give the fulfillment that a man desires. So there is something more. And that's why Jesus Christ said, he says, I will give you peace. He said, not the kind of peace the world will give you. What is the world? The riches of this world. The beauties, the things that we admire. He says, not the kind of peace they will give you. And not even a negotiated peace. He said, but the peace of God that passes all human understanding. That is what God wants to give you. So that when you are going through this storm, and people are looking at you, and you are at peace, and they are wondering, how have you managed? How are you able to keep going? If I will go through a tenth of what you are going through, I will be flat on my back. But they see you going, and then they get inspiration. They get pumped up, and then they have the faith and the God to face the challenges of life. Why? Because they see you. And that is what Christ wants us to be. He wants us to live a life of victory. And that's why I like the song we sang earlier. It says, the world will see how great our God. And I can declare to you tonight that the Lord will see how great your God is in every circumstance of life because he will come true for you. Amen? The kingdom of God is a kingdom of peace. Now, going back to our Bible study, Daniel said, receive the kingdom. How do you receive the kingdom? How do you receive the kingdom? Like I said earlier, in every kingdom there are rules, but there are also standards and values. The rules you have to obey, no choice, but the standards and the values have everything to do with the choices you make every single day of your life. How you react to things, how you respond to life, how you deal with the issues of life, how you deal with the brothers and sisters that God has placed around you in the kingdom. That is what it's all down to. So we have rules, we have regulation, we have standards, we have values. But the fundamental thing before what you see Daniel saying, he says, the saints, the first question you want to ask yourself is that, am I a saint of God? Or maybe you want to ask your neighbor, are you a saint of God? Are you a saint of God? Are you sanctified? Are you born again? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? That was the question we asked sometimes. So we keep asking. Before a man can become a saint, there is a process. And I'm going down to the fundamentals of our faith this evening. Let's open the book of John chapter 3, and I'll read verses 1 and 2. John 3, 1 and 2. In John chapter 3, verse 1, a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, came to Jesus by night and said to him in verse 2, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Then Jesus in verse 3 answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I want to believe for you to be on a Friday service that you are born again. But the question here is that the prerequisite for receiving the kingdom is being in Christ. And it's a very simple process. You see, when you want to become a Briton like me, I wasn't born here. So I had to go through a process. I had to sign a form. I had to consent to some things. So there is a process for you to, you know, I said earlier that you're either born into a kingdom or you become a citizen of that kingdom by allegiance or by naturalization. The kingdom of God, there is no man born into the kingdom of God. That is the difference. We all come into the kingdom of God by accepting the sacrifice of the cross. That is, Jesus, the Son of the living God, came in the flesh, died, and was raised from the dead for your justification. The Bible says that he was wounded for your transgression. He was bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement of your peace was laid upon him. He was poor so that you can be rich. He was weak that you could be strong. He gave everything for us. He's our high priest. So there is a process. And let's see what Romans 10:10 says. Romans 10:10 tells us that a man has to believe in his heart and then confess with his mouth. And then you become a sanctified one. You become a saint. It's a very simple process. But I think one of the greatest challenges we face as Christians is that the process is so simple that we take it for granted. It's not as complicated like, you know, in the days of unis when, you know, you want to join the court. It's more rigorous. It's tougher. It's hard. By the time you go through the initiation, you come out firing on all cylinders because they would have done some stuff. But this one is too simple. It's just simple. Believe it, confess it, and become it. And so it just looks too unreal. But that is the kingdom of God. It's just as simple as that. I'm just laying some fundamental today. And in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, if any man be in Christ, behold, is a new creature. All things are passed away, and all things are become new. You are a new creature. And you see, one of the reasons I'm really excited about this house is that we have an example in Pastor Eddie. One of the reasons, to be honest with you, I stuck with this ministry because I've been around quite a bit, not too many churches, but I have associated with men of God for a while. But I saw something in Pastor Eddie, and that was his passion and commitment to the kingdom. You know, a man who would naturally denounce his natural birthday and adopt his spiritual birthday tells me something of a man who is totally submitted. And if he gets results in life, then you can understand. Because Jesus Christ said, if any man will follow me, you have to take your cross and then you have to deny yourself. And we're going to talk more about that one later. But that is the thing. It's a very simple process, but it has very strong spiritual significance. And because it has serious spiritual significance, it has serious serious impact on your everyday life and even more so your eternal life. Amen? But I just pray that God will give us understanding. But it's just like Paul says, my prayer and heart desires for the house of Israel is that they may be saved. And folks, if you are here tonight and you're not born again, my prayer and heart desire for you is that you be saved. You don't have to do it tonight, but I am praying that God will give you that understanding. Because if you're going to be out of the world. If you're going to be in Christ, be in Christ. Because the reality of life is that you will struggle to blend in with the guys out there again. I have not been able to. When I was growing up as a young guy, I have my mates, I have my guys, that we've been through secondary school together. But when I came into Christ, the story was different. I just realized we just couldn't flow. In fact, there was a guy I met in London, a couple of years back. We used to be a group of five when I was in secondary school, and we were very close, and we caused a lot of troubles. And I saw him, and to be honest, apart from where is X, where is Y, where is Z, because he's an allergy, I couldn't really find much to say to him. The guy has grown, he's become a big allergy now, and it's very difficult for me to I couldn't relate with him. So what I'm trying to say to you is that if you're going to be out of the world, just let the world be. I'm not saying don't relate with the world. Don't get me wrong. There is no way we can save the world without relating with them. But if you're going to be in Christ, be in Christ and get the benefit. Because if you listen to what Daniel was saying, Daniel said you receive the kingdom and then you possess the kingdom. There are two different things. We're talking about receiving the kingdom here. The first thing you need to do to receive the kingdom is what I'm talking about, that is you have to accept the terms. There are rules of engagement. You live by the rules, you accept the terms, and then you are qualified for the possession. The second thing you need to do, apart from accepting the terms, is that you need to submit to the rules of the kingdom. You see, the overarching rule in the kingdom of God is love. And that is why his disciples came to him, Jesus, and they said, Master, which is the greatest commandment? And he said to them, love your neighbor as yourself. No, he said, love God with all your heart and then love your neighbor as yourself. But the reality of the law is that everything is summed up in that golden rule. The golden rule of the kingdom is love. Jesus Christ it's getting dark now, so I'm struggling to see this. I might have to borrow yours, but then he needs it to type as well. Amen? So you need to submit to the kingdom, and I said the overarching rule is love. Let's open to Galatians chapter 5, and I'll read from verse 16. Galatians 5 from verse 16. It says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Then I'll move to verse 19. It says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousness, outburst of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, and the list goes on. These are the works of the flesh. The flesh is you. your natural being. And the Bible says that the natural man cannot fulfill the laws of the spirit. The flesh, this is how the flesh has, this is the makeup of the flesh, basically. So that it's very easy for you to backbite. It's very easy for you to slander. But let's see what the spirit of love, what it does from verse 22. It says, but the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Do you know what it means to have long-suffering? That is, this guy, I really wish I could smash him, but then I will have to bear with him. Why? Because Christ also died for him. That is denying yourself. Because when Jesus Christ said to his disciples that if anyone wants to follow me, you must pick up your cross and deny yourself, people thought, you know, you could read anything you want to it, but I'm telling you tonight, it's as simple as letting go of yourself. It's as simple as embracing the law of the Spirit, which is the law of love, and just denying yourself of your arrogance, your pride, your ego, and all those things, and just let it go. If you will let those things go, then anger will not be able to take control of you. If you let those things go, then you will struggle to backbite against a brother. If you let those things go, then it will be difficult for you to slander a fellow believer. But those things are rampant in the body today. Why? Because many are still struggling to let go. They don't want to deny themselves. I am who I am. How dare you? You know? Those kind of things. But the reality of life is that the how dare you thing has to go out of your mind, not just your mouth, and then you submit to Christ and you live by the rule of love. Love, the Bible says, is long-suffering. It is the love of God that makes you able to relate with some people. But for the love of God, you will not want to even be in any relationship of any sort with some people. But the Bible, you know what Paul says? It's the love of God compels me. And that is where we need to get to. So the overarching rule in the kingdom is to have love. You need to love your neighbors. And you know the story, Jesus Christ was telling the story of the Good Samaritan. So it's not about the man that is rushing to church for choir practice. What will happen if you have to make choir practice and then you are coming on the road and you see a man with a car accident? Will you be able to come up here and sing as if nothing happened on the road? That is what we're talking about. Or would you rather let Mide get angry for all you care and look after that man and tend that man, you know, that was having, you know, that was in a situation where he needs help? That was the example Jesus Christ was setting for us. That is love. Love is putting aside all the things that are priority to you and making other people priority. It may be important to you to maintain your ego and, you know, just maintain your stand. But when it comes to relating with other people, you have to be able to lay down those things and take on the heart of love. So that is submitting to the rules of the kingdom. And if you do this, you'll be amazed what God can do in your life. Amen? Galatians 5:16-22 is what we just read. In Matthew 16:24, Jesus Christ told his disciples, said, do you want to follow me? Then you have to pick your cross. Picking your cross is about letting go of those things that are the things of the flesh. Like having that temptation to talk about the brother, but you say, no, I can't do it. And you walk away. That is letting go. That is taking your cross. Your flesh was compelling you to do it, but your spirit was telling you that, no, this is not acceptable in the kingdom. That is what we're talking about when we talk about walking in the Spirit. And the Bible encourages us to walk in the Spirit. I pray that the Holy Spirit will expand that to you in Jesus' name. But now I want to talk about possessing the kingdom. How do you possess the kingdom? Because mind you, we're doing Bible studies, and Daniel said, the saints of God will receive the kingdom, and then they will possess it. Possessing the kingdom basically means taking everything and living in everything that God has designed for your life, that God has designed for your peace, that God has designed for your prosperity, that God has designed for your victory. That's what it means, just walking in the fullness of what God has purposed and planned for your life. But the very important, there are two key or two important things that you must do to be able to possess the kingdom. And the first one is that you must know your identity. You must know your identity. You see, when you receive Christ, what you have received is sonship through the Spirit. That is, you have become the Son of God. Let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 8, and I'll read verses 14 to 17. Romans 8, 14 to 17. Are we blessed tonight? Romans 8, Romans 8, 14. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. It is for the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." If you are the children of God, the first question is, do you really know that you are a child of God? Are you convinced in yourself? Or are you just a believer? Because you can believe and not be convinced that you are actually a son of God. Especially for many of us that come from the very religious, you know, background. But you have to, because you see, King David said, he says, he called them gods because they are the children of the Most High. You are gods, you are a spirit. And we have to have that understanding that we can't continue to see things the way mundane people see it because we are spiritual. So our perspective to life have to be different. Knowing your identity means that you know who you are and also what you are entitled to. I'm going to talk about I just want to use these two people in the book of Luke chapter 15 as an example. And I'm talking about, everybody calls him the prodigal son. You see, I want you to read this on your own because of time. But you have two people here, and I believe Jesus Christ was telling us this story deliberately. One knew who he was. He knew what he was entitled to. And so he walked up to the father, and he said to him, "Dad, give me a portion of my inheritance that belongs to me." Why? Because he was a son. And the father obliged. He gave him everything, and the guy went away, and he spent it all, and he was able to come back because he knew he was a son. Yes, you can lash out, you can kick out, you can do everything you want, but I am a son. So I am back. I'm back home. And the guy came, and the Bible says that the father received him. That is a man who understood who he was. Now see the other guy, his brother. If you read it carefully in the last part of that story, I think that would be, let's look at it. Luke 15, verse 31. Let's look at this. Luke 15, 31. Luke 15, 31. It says, "And he said to him, Son," is he a son or not? He's a son. Just like the younger one. "Father said to him, Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours." But this guy was always with the father. But he never, as much as take anything, he never placed any demand on his entitlement. So we're talking about two different people here. This guy had relationship with the father, but he didn't understand his identity. The other one, he doesn't really care that much about the father, but he knew who he was and he knew how to ask for what belonged to him. So we're talking about two different things, and these are the two important things in life. You have to understand who you are in the Lord, and you have to understand that everything that belongs to God is yours. And what is it that belongs to God? The Bible says that the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. So everything that's upon the face of the earth belongs to you. Yes, the devil took the key from Adam, but Jesus Christ has restored that victory to us. Jesus Christ has given us back the inheritance because it belongs to us. So we need to understand, and let me tell you this story, a true life story. A family of three, they were going on holiday, and you know, on a boat cruise, basically. And in their ticket, it was all inclusive. Meaning you go to the restaurant and, you know, after the restaurant, if you feel like lounging, you can go to the bar and just hang around. Everything was free. But these guys, they didn't know. And so for 7 nights, every day they will go to the restaurant and then they will have a good meal and then they will be going out and they will just go back to their room and they will look at the bar. They will see a couple of people having fun and having drink and laughing and joking and they were just wondering, wow. We really wish we could afford this extra luxury. We really wish we could go to the bar, you know, and have some drink, some extra. And they did that for 7 nights. And on the last night, one member of the family just decided to engage with one of the waiters. And, you know, he said to them that, how much will it cost, you know, to just be part of that party? And they said to him, there is no cost. Because it's all inclusive in your package. You eat there. If you feel like, you know, having some more, then you come to the bar and you sit down. And the young man went back and broke the news to the family. And, you know, they were like, wow. But it was just one day to go. Many of us believers are like that. We have everything in the kingdom, but we don't know the things that make for our peace. I want us to, there is something I want us to read here. And, let's open to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 9 to 12. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 to 12. Okay, I'll read just because of time. It says, but as it is written, eyes has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have we entered into the hearts of men the things which God has prepared for those who love him. The next verse. But as it is written, no, the next verse, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. The next verse. For what man knows the things of man except the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. The next verse. It says, now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us. And herein lies the danger. Many of us do not know the things that have been freely given to us. And so we struggle through life and we labor for things that we should not labor for. We fight in our own strength for things that for things that we cannot overcome. But yet the Lord says to you that stand still and see my salvation, because the battle of life does not belong to you, but belongs to me. And there is no man who can overcome God. So if God be for you, as they will say, who can be against you? If God is with you, of who shall you be afraid? You cannot be afraid of anyone. Why? Because you have the Most High with you. But it all begins in knowing the things that are freely given to you. And it all begins in the place of knowledge. And that's why Hosea 4:6 says, my people, they perish for lack of knowledge. When you do not know what belongs to you, you will be like that family who for 6 nights were denying themselves of the privilege, of the privileges that was all included in their travel, you know, package. But that will not be your portion, because I believe that from tonight, God will take you to a new realm of understanding and belief, that you will know who you are, and then you'll be able to build a solid and a growing relationship with God. Because, you see, the next thing is that you need to have a relationship. It is good enough for you to know who you are, know that you can always place the demand on your entitlements, but you will get much more out of God if you can have a good balance of the two. You know who you are in God, and you are able to foster a growing and a strong relationship with the Father. I just imagine if that brother who had been with the Father all along, all this while, as the Father said, I just imagine what he could do. I just imagine how many parties he could have. I just imagine how often he could bring his friend over to have a party, because everything was there for him to do that. All the resources were available, but the guy was living without knowledge and understanding. And my prayer tonight is that God will give you understanding. Spiritual understanding is key. Prayers, relationship, and fellowship with God will position you to possess the kingdom. But knowledge of who you are and your identity is what will deliver it. And that is where faith comes in. Because when you know who you are and you know that it is there, even though you cannot physically see it, then you can place a demand on it. And that is the basis of faith. So all of this thing boils down to one thing: know who you are in God and believe his promises. What is his promise to you? The same promise that he gave to Abraham is the same that you have, because that's what the Bible tells me. See, the promises that were given to Abraham has become ours. And we can see that in the Bible. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 10:26, I think. For the earth is the Lord and all its fullness. No, this is not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for where it's saying about the promises that we have received, the promises of the Spirit. I mean, that the promise of Abraham has come to the Gentiles through the Spirit. Because we are now in Christ, everything that God promised Abraham become ours. Why? Because we're joined here with Christ. You are the saint of God. You are an heir of the kingdom. You have an inheritance in the kingdom, but you need to know it. So that when sickness comes throwing arrows at you, you know where to return it. It doesn't belong here. I carry in me Christ. Christ was never sick. But what comes out of your mouth has to agree with what is in your spirit. But if you don't have the word in your spirit, then you cannot speak anything out. Because the Bible says that we believe, and so we speak. So you have to believe, then you can declare, but everything and all things are yours. That's what the Bible says. But it all comes down to having an understanding that, yes, God has given me all things. All things are yours, but relationship, like I said earlier, we endear your inheritance to you, but understanding will deliver it to you. The older brother had a good relationship, but he never enjoyed the benefit of his identity because he didn't know, or maybe he ignored, or maybe he didn't take it serious. How many prayer warriors are praying day after day? How many people are studying the word as hard as possible, and yet they do not have understanding? They have a relationship in the place of fellowship, in the place of studying the word, in the place of prayer. But then when it comes to the issues of life, they don't know how to place demands on heaven. This is where we need to get to. This is our month. This is our season of wonders. This is our month of praise. God can do wonders, but we have to be well positioned. And that is the essence of the message tonight. We need to put ourselves in a place where God can arise and do the things that he can do on our behalf. It all comes down to us having that understanding of our identity and having a strong relationship. That way, we receive the kingdom and then we can possess the kingdom. And that is why Jesus Christ said, seek ye first the kingdom. Just seek the kingdom. Every other thing, your good health, your how to take care of your children's school fees, how to take care of your home, all of those things will be taken care of. But seek the kingdom. And this is the kingdom perspective. Having an understanding that you receive the kingdom and then you possess everything that the kingdom has to offer. And trust me, the kingdom has loads to offer. The kingdom offers you peace, it offers you joy, and above all things, it makes you righteous. Why? Because you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So you don't have to labor for righteousness. You don't have to struggle to please God. Just be in Christ and strive daily to let go of the flesh. And then you can live your life to please God. Let love rule your heart. And God will always be there for you. Amen? Let's rise up to our feet tonight. And let's just ask God for grace. Let's pray tonight that God will give us understanding. That God will give us spiritual understanding. That we may know who we are in Christ. That we may be able to establish an ongoing, growing relationship with him. That we may be able to walk in the fullness of that which God has proposed for us. Let's receive the grace tonight. Father, we'll receive grace. The grace to know who we are in you, Lord. Ask him tonight to multiply grace to you. Ask him to reveal himself to you. Paul said, ever since the day we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, we have never ceased to pray for you that God will give you spiritual understanding and spiritual knowledge and understanding, wisdom and understanding in the knowledge of him. Tonight, ask God to give you that spirit of wisdom and understanding in the knowledge of him and in the knowledge of who you are. Because it is important. You can know that God is God, but if you don't know that you are his son, your inheritance will be denied you. So tonight, ask for the grace. Ask that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of understanding tonight in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord, we receive from you tonight, O Lord, the spirit of wisdom and understanding to know you, to know who we are, Lord, and the grace to always stand with you, Father, in the place of relationship, oh God. Father, Lord, to get close to you, to walk closely with you, Lord God, to know you, to love you, and to love the people, oh God, that you have given, that you have surrounded us with, Father. We receive the grace tonight, Father. Tonight, Father, we lay down the flesh, Lord God Almighty, and we take the armor of the Spirit, Father, to walk in the Spirit, Father, and to do the things that are pleasing to you. Tonight, oh God, we receive the grace, Father, Lord. We lay down ourselves, oh God Almighty. Father, we reduce ourselves that your spirit may grow in us in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord God, let it be all about you and not about what we feel or think, oh God, but let it be about your love growing in our heart, Father, growing us every day, making us become more like you, oh God, day after day in the name of Jesus. Father, we just bless you tonight as we are prayed in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.